Welcome to Rambam on the Line. We're up to Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Shishi, the sixth chapter of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. In yesterday's shiur, the Rambam discussed the mitzvah of sanctifying the name of God and of not desecrating His name. In this shiur, he discusses the mitzvah of not destroying anything upon which the name of God is found, as we shall see. Anyone who destroys one of the holy names, the pure names with which Hashem is called, he gets flogged by Torah law. Because it says concerning idolatry, you should destroy their names from this place, but do not do so to Hashem your God. Halacha Beis, there are seven holy names. Hashem HaNichtav Yud Kei Vav Kei V'Hushem HaMefurish, the name that is written Yud Kei Vav Kei, which we never pronounce, that's known as the explicit name of Hashem. O, or the name HaNichtav Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that's the way we usually pronounce the name that's written Yud Kei Vav Kei, but that's a separate name, Ad Hashem. The Kael, and then the name Kael. Eloka, the name Eloka. Velokim, the name Elokim. Elokei, name Elokei, Shindalad Yud, Utsavakos. These are the seven names. The Kesef Mishnah explains that Eloka is a separate name of Hashem, as is Elokim. Now, Elokei is a construct, like the God of, Elokei. So that's considered a holy name of God, unlike, like, let's say, Elokei Chem. The Chem part, your God, is not considered part of the holy name in itself. So why is Elokei considered part of the holy name, since it's only a construct? Well, the answer is that the Yud is part of the name, as in Elokim, where it's spelled with a Yud. So even though Elokei is a construct, the God of, it's still all considered part of the holy name. Another point that the Kesef Mishnah makes is that there are eight names actually listed here. So one answer that he gives is that Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, he counts as one, since in fact we pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei in the same way as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The Kesef Mishnah also brings another version in which Elokei is not counted, and that way we have seven, and we can count Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud as two separate names. The Kesef Mishnah brings a third version that counts of the Rambam, but counts the name Aleph Kei Yud Kei. That's the name that Hashem appeared to Moshe at first at the burning bush, and he does not count the name Kael, because that's part of Elokim. Nor does he count Elokei for the same reason, and you have seven that way. The Rambam continues, Kol ha-mochik efilo os achas b'shiv'elu loka, whoever erases even one letter of these seven names gets flogged. Halacha gimel, kol ha-nitfo l'shem ufan av butu l'mochko, kogon lamed mil l'hashem, ubeiz mi be'elokim, ukiyose behen, in the kikdushas Hashem. Any thing like a preposition that comes before the name, you are allowed to erase it. For example, if it says Le Hashem, the preposition Lamed too can be erased. Or Be'lokim, in God, the Be'ez can be erased. Chala nitful Hashem mi'achrav, kagom chav shel elokecha, v'chav mem shel elokeichem u'kiyos behem. Einam nemchakim, for ehem kisharot yishol shem, v'nei shashem mikacham. They are the letters that follow the name, like the pronoun Elokecha, the chaf at the end, your God, or the plural Elokechem, chaf mem, your in the plural God, or other such suffixes, are not erased because they've been sanctified by the letters of the name. Even though they have been sanctified and you're not allowed to erase them, and it follows, if you do erase these letters that follow as suffixes, he does not get flogged by Torah law, of a makanos and makas mardis, but he would be flogged by rabbinic law. So even though there would be no flogging by Torah law, it's still a rabbinic violation. Paragraph Dalet. Kos of Aleph Lamed Melokim, or Yud Kei Mehavaya, Eno Nimchak. If he was writing Elokim and he didn't write the full name, he just wrote Aleph Lamed. Or he was writing the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he just wrote the first two letters, Yud and Kei, that is not allowed to be erased. Now, it goes without saying, if he writes Yud Kei by itself, that's part of the holy name. That is considered a holy name by itself, because it's part of the explicit name. But even if he's intending to write the full name, and he writes just half of it, it's still forbidden. Avala kotev shin dalet mishin dalet yud. Tzadik beis mitzvakol sareza nimchak. If he writes the first two letters, let's say, of two names, like the name Shakai or Tzvakol, those two letters are not in themselves a name, and therefore, even though he was intending to write the whole name, he can still erase them. The Ravid writes, Am Avraham ze'enei. This is not correct. Klum, this is nothing. Shlomer Aleph Aleph Lamed Melekim. They only said this law concerning writing the Aleph Lamed of the name of Elokim, that you're not allowed to erase it. Yudke Mavaya, or the name Yudke of the name of Havaya, that you're not allowed to erase it. Avol Shin V'Dalad Mishakai, the Tzadik Beis Mitzvakos, Harelu Nimchakim. But the Shin and the Dalad of Shakai, or the Tzadik and the Beis of the Tzvakos, may be erased. Now, the commentary is asked, the Ravid is saying exactly the same as what the Rambam is saying. Why is he arguing? He's saying the same thing. There's a lengthy Kesef Mishnah. The simplest shot that the Kesef Mishnah gives is that apparently the Ravid had a different version of the Rambam. Perhaps his version read that the Rambam said that if you write the Vav K of Havaya, you cannot erase it. And that he's arguing and saying it's only the Yud K. In any case, our version of the Rambam agrees with the text of the Ravid as well, it is the Yud K of the name of Hashem that is holy, whether you wrote it separately or whether you write it as part of the name Yudke Vavke, you're not allowed to erase it. Halacha Hey, Shar Kinu Yishim Shapchen Behenet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the other descriptive terms with which God is praised. Kagon, for example, Chanun, Gracious One, Barachum, Compassionate One, Agadol, Great One, Agiver, Mighty One, Avanora, Awesome One, Hanemon, Trusted One, Kame, Vengeful One, Vachodok, Strong One, Ukiyotaban, and similar expressions. Rein Kishakis at Kodesh, they're like other parts of the holy writings. Mutalamokan, and you can erase them. If you want to correct a Sefer Torah, whatever, you can erase these terms. Halachavav, Keli Shayisham, Shem Kotavalav, if there was a vessel which had the name of Hashem written on it, Kotet is Mokam Hashem Vigonzo. You must cut off the place in which the name is written and hide that away, because you cannot destroy it. Fafilo Ayashem Chokuk Bukli Makas, Obukli Tzchuchis, Vahatachakli, Erase the locus. Let's say you have the name written on a metal or glass vessel. You didn't actually erase it. You just melted the whole vessel. You get flogged if you do that. What you should do is cut off the plate and put it in hiding. Bury it. Remove it. Similarly, if there was the name of Hashem written on your skin. You shouldn't wash it or anoint it or stand in a dirty place since it has the name of Hashem on it. If he has an opportunity, an occasion to go to immerse himself in the mikveh, where it is a mitzvah, he wraps a kind of reed around it, the tovel, and he immerses himself. If he doesn't find this reed, he can put around his clothing, but not make it tight, so it shouldn't interrupt the mikveh. In other words, the mikveh has to reach every part of his body. So this gummy, this kind of reed, covers the name, but lets the water through on his body. If he doesn't have that, he can put a garment on, but he must let the water through. The reason that you have to cover it up is not to stand naked in the presence of the name that's written on you. In other words, the fact that the water goes on it might erase it is not forbidden, because it's not your intention to erase it. And that's an unintentional thing. The only prohibition is that you're naked in front of the name, and that is remedied by wearing a gummy or a garment, provided that the water goes through, so that your immersion should be valid. Halacha Zayin. If you have an achas derech hashchotam in a mezbeach, if one destroys, that is, takes apart in a destructive way, even one stone from the altar, or min ahechal from the Beit HaMikdash, or mishar ha'azara, or the rest of the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, loke gets flogged. Shenema bavodes kechav. It says concerning idolatry, you should destroy their altars. Because of it, then the Torah writes, Lo Sasim Kein L'Hashem Alakechem. Don't do similarly to Hashem your God. If one burns wood that belongs to the Beit HaMikdash in a destructive way, he gets flogged. Shnam as it says, Hashem Tisafun Be'esh, burn down the idolatrous trees in fire. And it is written, Lo Sasim Kein L'Hashem Alakechem. Do not do this to Hashem your God.
If
the forbidden to burn or destroy with your hands directly the holy writings, all of the holy writings of the Tanakh and their commentaries and explanations. If you directly destroy it, you get flogged by rabbinic law. Now this prohibition against destroying the holy writings applies if it was written in a state of holiness by a Jew. Avo, Abikaris Yisrael Shekotz Sefer Torah, a heretical Jew, a non-believing Jew, who wrote a Torah, Safanot Semas Karshabo, you can burn it even with the mentions of God's name that is in it. Even though God's name is mentioned there, you still burn it. Why? This non-believer doesn't believe in the holiness of the name of God. When he wrote it, he didn't write it for the sake of God. After all, he doesn't believe in it. He thinks this is just like anything else, just some word. Since in his mind there was no reverence and holiness for God when he wrote his name, the name never becomes holy, and therefore it can be burned. Not only can it be burned, says the Rambam, it's a mitzvah to burn it, not to leave over a remembrance of the non-believers and of their actions. If an idolater wrote the name of Hashem, that you have to bury, because the idolater might believe in Hashem, presumably does believe in Hashem, although he's an idolater. Similarly, the holy writings, the Tanakh, that becomes spoiled, it's old, it's no longer usable, that has to be hidden away and buried. Or if a non-Jew or an idolater wrote it, also it has to be hidden away and buried. Now I assume what the Rambam said in the beginning of the halakha, that it's only a rabbinic violation if you destroy the holy writings and you get flogged by rabbinic law, would be talking about a case where there is no name of Hashem written in the commentary, let us say, to the Kitzvei Kodesh. Because if the name of God is written, we already learned previously that to destroy that is a Torah violation, and you would get flogged by Torah law. Halacha Tes. Kol Hashem Osamurim Ba'Avraham Kodesh. Now, we have to determine which name is holy and which is not when we're writing a Torah or a Tanakh. If the scribe makes a mistake, and the name is not a holy name, he can erase it. If it is holy, he cannot. So, whenever the name of Hashem is mentioned in the story of Abraham, it's holy. After Shneamar, Ad Hashem Nama Tosechein, Arehu Kodesh. There's a pasuk where Abraham says, "My master, if I found favor in your eyes, don't go away from me." And we interpret that he's talking to God. It could be interpreted that he's talking to the visitors that he sees, but we say no, he's talking to God and it is holy. In the story of Lot, when the name Ad Hashem appears, it means just my masters, and it's not holy. With the exception of the words Al Na Ad Hashem, pray my Lord, your servant has found favor in your eyes. There the word Ad Hashem, my Lord, is not addressed to the angel, but it's addressed to Hashem, to God. In the story of Givus Binyamin, the name of Hashem is mentioned various times, and all of those are holy. The names that are mentioned by Micha are not holy. Micha was a person who set up an idol, and when the name of God is mentioned there, it isn't referring to Hashem. It's the false god. In the story of Navais, who was a man falsely accused by King Ahav and Izebel of cursing God, so the names that appear in that story are referring to Hashem, and they are holy. Wherever it says the word Shlomo, it's referring to Hashem, and it is holy. And they are like the other words, and not one of the seven names of God, but the other words describing Hashem. Except for the verse Ha'alaf Lucha Shlomo, Shlomo, you have the thousand, which is referring to Shlomo HaMelech himself. Now you might ask, since the Rambam says that even though they are holy, but they're not holy as one of the seven names of God, just as the Kinuyim, the descriptions of God, and that you could erase anyway, so what difference does it make if they're holy or not? So the Kesef Mishnah discusses this, and he says, that the rule is that if you cause witnesses to swear, and they swear falsely, using not only God's name, but a kinoi, a descriptive word about God, that that is also considered in that law as God's name, and they're liable to that false oath. So if they swore by the name Shlomo in Shir HaShirim, in any of those psukim, it would be considered holy in that sense. That's how the Kesef Mishnah explains it. Kol Malchaya Amar B'Daniel Chol. Whenever it says king by Daniel, it is non-holy. It's just referring to kings of flesh and blood. Chutz Mizeh, except for the pasuk Ant Malko Melech Malchaya. You are the king of all kings, referring, and that is referring to Hashem. Just as the name Shlomo, it isn't actually holy, but it is like the other descriptive terms describing God. The Kesef Mishnah asks a question that in the book of Daniel we find the word Melech being used specifically about God, where Nebuchadnezzar praises God as Melech Shemayah, the king of the heavens. Therefore the Kesef Mishnah learns that when the Rambam says in Daniel, it doesn't mean in the book of Daniel, it means in the words that Daniel said. So whenever Daniel says, uses the word king, it's not referring to Hashem, except for the one place that the Rambam indicates.